it's obvious that when these two team up, the result is magical.
This Week in Tennis.
And we brought this dynamic duo together once again.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis.
Hey, Craig, we got Wimbledon coming up. Are you ready for it?
Grass court tennis? I sure am. I've enjoyed the last couple of weeks. Wimbledon is the biggest exhibition on the card this year. It's, you know, the highlight of the summer here in the UK, so bring it on.
I say bring it on. Welcome to This Week in Tennis. I'm Phil Nasons. He's Craig Doyle. And we have a big event coming up. The exhibition, formerly known as Wimbledon. Now it's just an exhibition. It doesn't count. Craig, this is not going to be a difficult tournament to handicap because we're going to be missing several players. The Russian nationals and Belarus nationals are not allowed to compete because apparently that's going to keep Putin from doing whatever he's doing in Ukraine. I don't understand the thought behind any of this. I understand why the ATP tours and the ATP and WTA tours have decided to not allow points for this event, but does it change anything, Craig? It's still Wimbledon, right?
It's still Wimbledon. There's still a big prize pot. Pretty much all of these players know that they're still going to get huge money for losing in the first round. So anybody who's down the rankings that can get in, they're going to be delighted. They, you know, still going to get that big prize pot that they want that keeps them on the tour. So, you know, I don't think you're going to see too many withdrawals from Wimbledon. I think a few people have talked about it. You know, those people that they're a bit fickle, like Naomi Osaka is a bit fickle. She might not be there, but, you know, everyone else will be.
Everyone else will be. That's a fact. And, you know, if you're keeping score at home, this is probably the last time you'll see Novak Djokovic on a tennis court in a tournament of any consequence until after the U.S. Open because he's not allowed to enter the United States due to his vaccination status. So this is going to be a very interesting tournament for a lot of different people and for a lot of different reasons, I think. Let's get after this thing here, shall we? You know, I don't want to get into the political thing of this. You know, it just makes sense that only the British would F something up like this.
Well, I don't think it's down to Wimbledon. They've not really got much say in it. You know, the British government has put regulations in place and Wimbledon's having to work around those regulations. So I don't blame the people at the tournament. You know, they're doing what they got to do within the confines of the law that's been imposed on them here. It's not a good situation for anyone, but it is what it is. And, you know, we all have to work with it. And, you know, I think Novak Djokovic is probably going to be quite happy with that.
Well, I would think so. At least he gets to play.
Well, he gets to play, but, like, it's one of his closest challengers in Daniel Medvedev's not able to play. You know, he's maybe the best placed player to win this slam other than Novak Djokovic, but I'd assume he'll be overwhelming favorite. So it's one of those situations where he might, even though he's gone down the rankings a little due to the no points here, and he will go down the rankings further, he might actually benefit out of this because he's not playing for ranking points or number one. He's playing for slams. That's the magic that matters to him now. And I think he'll be quite delighted to see a few of his rivals are not going to be there.
I know that I would be. I don't know that Medvedev would be a favorite, though. That's my opinion. Something tells me he's not exactly the best grass court player. I guess it's because I watch him. But that being said, you know, you have to be happy if you're Novak Djokovic. Now, he is a three-time defending champion. They did not play in 2020 because of COVID. He's won this event six times. A six-time winner. And currently, Craig, he's a minus 120 favorite. That means if you want to win $100, you got to put up $120. Is he going to win this tournament? I mean, you would think that he has plenty of incentive, because at the end of the day, like you said, you know, it's all about major titles now for him. You know, he is currently two behind Rafael Nadal. We won't get into the reasons why that's the case. I think if he would have been able to play the Australian Open, he may have won that. That's his best surface. That's his tournament. With that being said, this is a big event for him. And quite frankly, I only see a few players in that field who can take him out.
Yeah, I see maybe five, and at least four of them would have to have their best day ever to take him out.
Okay, so who you got? Which is who do you think can take him out besides, I would say, Rafael Nadal at 65-1 or 650 plus 650, meaning you put up $65, you get 100 back. Nadal, and then perhaps Matteo Berrettini.
Yeah, that's the second one I had. He plays a good grass game. You know, he played a nice game the other week against Andy Murray in Stuttgart. He's just back from injury, so he's going to have fresh legs. I was impressed with him. I really did think he was looking pretty good. He's going strong at the minute, playing against Tommy Paul as we speak over at the Queen's Club. I like that guy. I really do. I like him on the grass court. He's 7 for the set at the minute, and he's looking real good. I think he's reached the final before. You know, last time Novak Djokovic won it. Good shout. Definitely one of the five that I picked out.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question to me that Berrettini has a shot at this. Nadal has a shot. I would put Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's got a shot. Nick Kyrgios has a very good shot at this event. And, you know, if you're going to put up some money in the futures, he's at plus 2,000, 20-1 to win. Nick's played very well.
Yeah, and I had Nick down as one of the five. You know, Nick is he's a wild card, isn't he? You know, he does his own thing, and sometimes it works for him, and sometimes people get frustrated with him. But I like the way Nick plays, and I think if Nick has a good day, he can beat anybody. He's definitely on that list of the five players. And the other one, and you know, it's a bit of a surprise to me to bring this name out, but Andy Murray looks like he's been playing some good stuff as well. He's got a bit of a niggling injury, but if he stays fit and he plays like he did in Stuttgart, he could cause a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Oh, I think he could cause big problems. My only concern is that can he win 7 matches best of 5? Although, you know, if you're going to do it with his steel hip, you know, the Wimbledon points are a lot quicker. The matches aren't as long. It's not as much of a grind. The heat won't be so bad. This is a good shout at 25-1. 25-1 for Andy Murray. It's amazing to me that, you know, and no offense to Carlos Alcaraz, who's a hell of a player, but there's no way he should be favored higher than, say, Berrettini, than, say, Murray, or even Marin Cilic.
Well, I was just about to come to Marin Cilic because he's playing some good stuff as well. He's on a hot streak. But I look at Alcaraz and I think, he's got no pedigree on the grass. You've got no history there to look at. You know, what's he won on the grass? So why would I back him over, say, even Milos Raonic, who I know plays a decent game on the grass? He can back it up with a big serve. I just don't, you know, I don't see where the play is on Carlos Alcaraz right now. That's a really, really bad price for a player who I think he hasn't won anything yet. People are starting to jump on the bandwagon with him. There's no evidence. It's not a good price. There's a lot of players you could play at a lot better price than you can Carlos Alcaraz, and you've got a much bigger chance of winning a much bigger sum of money back for your $100.
Well, and that's just it. And that's what it's all about. If you're betting on tennis, is winning. That ROI is important. And, you know, even though that's a decent bet at 6.5 to 1 for Alcaraz, what has he won? You're right. What has he won? You know, you rightly pointed out before Roland Garros that outside of, and he has been spectacular, he's just a young guy, but the tournament he won in Madrid was above sea level. And you were the only one in the sea of narratives that came out with that stat and said, I'm not betting on him to win this tournament. He hasn't done anything yet. And I think a lot of this has to do with the hype machine created by these so-called tennis journalists. And of course, you know, the social media fans, you know, they have their say in the matter too. And they're all enamored with him and have created a narrative that may not exist at this time. And you should never bet narratives over numbers. Never do that. And the numbers suggest that Carlos Alcaraz, while he's fantastic and he's a joy to watch and it's fun to watch him come from behind, it's fun to watch him pump his or flex his biceps, but I'm not flexing my cash on the counter on Carlos Alcaraz until he actually wins something or he has a realistic chance of winning something based on something other than the narrative. It's just my opinion.
No, I'm going to agree with you. You know, that's how we do things here. We look at the numbers. We look at the relevant statistics. This guy's been playing some great stuff, but it wasn't in best of five. It wasn't in tournaments at sea level. You know, there were things that were giving him slight advantages. But I think this guy, yeah, he might prove to be a great player. But a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon with Alexander Zverev really early and said that this guy was going to win 10 slams by the time he was 25. And that hasn't worked out because he's not a great best of five sets player either. You know, he had a good French Open, and I think he will win a slam at some point. But, you know, I didn't jump on the bandwagon when he first came along, and I was right, because he was a good best of three sets player, a lot like Stefanos Tsitsipas. He's a really, really good best of three sets player, but that's not transitioned to five sets yet. And until you start seeing the evidence that they can win the big matches in best of five, they're not going to win Grand Slams.
Nope. And that's what, again, you have to shut out the noise. You got to block out the noise, and you have to listen to folks who have a little more clarity on the subject. That's the first thing. And aren't biased. You know, that's the one thing you have to learn when you're sports betting, is you have to chuck your presuppositions and your bias and set them aside. Chuck them out the door and deal with the facts. Deal with what's most likely to happen, especially when you're doing future betting. And what's most likely to happen is that Novak Djokovic is going to win this tournament. Rafael Nadal will probably have a good event. Matteo Berrettini could win this tournament, but he'll probably have a very good event. I like the way this Auger Aliassime plays on grass. I don't know if he's a five-set champion yet. We'll have to wait and see. But he's given us indication during the grass court season that he's ready. And he has a very good record on grass. Tsitsipas, good call on that. He's not there yet. He may never get there. But he doesn't have to either. He's set for life. He's a god in Greece. Do you have any idea what his life is like in Greece? Because I can tell you, it's pretty damn good, actually. And he's revered wherever he goes. And even if he never wins a Grand Slam final, he's going to be beloved until the day he's left this earth, and then he'll be immortalized somewhere in Greece. So, but he hasn't won a championship yet, and I'm not going to take that narrative and that reality and stick my hard-earned cash on it. Denis Shapovalov. He's another one people are talking a lot about to win this event, to perform well at this event, and I'm not holding out any hope for him either.
No, if he makes a second week, he'll have had a good tournament.
Damn right. Damn right, Craig. Second week. is a good event for anyone. You know, there's very few that have the ability, or they all have the ability, but do they have the mindset, the mentality, the mental approach to win a major event, especially when you've got Djokovic and Nadal in the draw? I don't think so, but one person I think can is Marin Cilic. Cilic is a Grand Slam champion. He's performed well here on grass. He's gotten to the semi or the final. I think, didn't he lose to Federer, I think, was it? Yeah, he lost to Federer in straight sets. It was a pretty big trouncing. Milos Raonic has gotten to the final where he lost to Andy Murray. Andy Murray lifted his second Wimbledon title to him. But the usual suspects are going to be here, and those are the ones that you want to see. And those are the ones that you want to bet on. You want to bet on the Djokovic's of the world. What about Nadal? Would you put some shekels on him? Because here's what's not been talked about. Nadal already has the first two majors in his pocket. He has a chance, a realistic chance, of finishing the season with all four in his back pocket. Does he have a realistic... I mean, what do you think? Is he worth the shot on this one? Because the odds are you're going to make some money. You know, but is that where people should put their money?
He's a late player, right? Because we don't know what's happening with this surgery or procedure that he's having on the nerves on his feet. I mean, they're going to like burn them off the bottom of his feet or something and see how that affects his play. You know, he's been getting a lot of pain there and having to take injections. He doesn't want to take those injections anymore. So we don't know where his fitness is, but if, you know, let's just roll the dice, say that he's fit. I think if he's fit and comfortable to play, there's not a lot of guys on that roster that wants to play him. Even on the grass, he's going to cause so many problems for so many guys. I mean, he plays and the way that he fights is on another level to almost everyone else on the tour. I think like Novak Djokovic might be the only person I would be comfortable putting my money on beating him. And I'm not even that certain, because if they get that deep in the tournament, Nadal could easily dig in and get the third slam of the year for himself. I mean, it's just not impossible.
I like Berrettini a lot. I agree with what you said about Nadal. But I like Berrettini quite a bit. You know, he got to the finals last year, losing to Djokovic in four sets, and it was a good, good match. You know, he won that first set tiebreaker, 7-4, I think it was. And then smashed his ass, or got his ass smashed, like most people do when they play Novak Djokovic. Are we throwing some shekels on Berrettini, or do we let him slide? He is coming off an injury, but he's looked real good in the grass court so far.
You know, you can't really play Djokovic. You know, you want to make some money. Djokovic right. is not a good play. Berrettini is probably the second best play. But, it's going to depend on that draw. You're going to want to wait till that draw goes up and see where he's sitting in that draw. If he's sitting in the draw on the same side as Djokovic, that becomes difficult. I think if he's on the other side of the draw and he can meet Djokovic in the final, I think Berrettini's a much better play at that stage. But, yeah, it's kind of difficult, right? Until you get the draw out there, and I'm sure we might have it next week when we show up. It's a hard call. And Berrettini, he's down at like 10 in the rankings, so there's no guarantees at where he's going to go in that draw, unfortunately. But he's a good play. I think he's the second best play that you can make, because I think Djokovic probably will win the tournament. But if something goes wrong, then Berrettini becomes a favorite, I think.
I think you're right. I think I like the way he plays. I don't see too many people on grass beating him. But Djokovic is one of them. I think Nadal could take him out too. But Felix Auger-Aliassime at 11-1. I'm not ready to do this yet with him. You know, he got to the finals of the US Open, great event. Got his ass kicked. Did he get his ass kicked? No, he didn't get his. I'm sorry. He lost the final to. Who did he lose to? Jose Aliassime got to the finals of. No, he didn't. He's never been to a final.
He got the semifinal.
Semifinal. I'm losing my mind here. It's so early. But at the end of the day, he's not that guy for me. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy for me, to be honest with you. I just don't see it.
He's going to be the latest in a line of Canadian maybes on the men's side. You know, they've had Milos Raonic, who got up to like number two or number three in the world, and he just couldn't get that Grand Slam in his pocket. You've got Denis Shapovalov, who's, you know, one minute he looks astoundingly good, the next minute it doesn't work for him. Felix has come along. He's got to the US Open final last year. He had the quarterfinals in the Australian. I don't think he's going to be much of a clay court player, but you know, coming into Wimbledon, he's been to the quarterfinals before, so he's definitely got something, but he doesn't look like a winner. But what he's got on his side that might make him into a winner is Tony Nadal. Because that guy knows how to win.
Ah, he sure does. But then it doesn't hurt when you have an athlete like Rafael Nadal. You know, it doesn't hurt when you're coaching him. So, but yeah, you're right about the Canadians, and I hate to say that, but the end of the day is they make big statements early in their careers, but that's it. I think the money's too big for a lot of these guys. You know, they make a lot of money, and they don't really have to win to make a lot of money. You know, I remember when Andre Agassi made $1 million a year. I think it was 1986. And we were all astounded that you could make earn so much money in prize money on a tennis court. At that time, he hadn't won anything either. So, but are these Canadians in the same talent sphere? Maybe, but for whatever reason, they have not given me any reason to put my money on them before a tournament. Before a Grand Slam event to win that tournament. They haven't given me anything. Nick Kyrgios is another one. He hasn't given us anything except he's got this amazing talent, man. And his serve is big, and especially big on grass. But the other thing that Nick has is that forehand. That his hands are so quick. And these doubles events that he's been playing and winning with Thanasi Kokkinakis have helped his grass court, I think. But does he win this? Does he have it in him to keep his head together for 2 weeks and win an event like this?
Nah, he's more of a play 4 or 5 matches in a week sort of guy, and he'll win smaller tournaments. And you know, he doesn't have the application level now that you require to win at tennis. He's got great natural ability. Everything comes really raw to him. And I like to watch him. You know, I think he's great fun to watch. He's having a good time out there. He's one of the best players to watch if you're putting your money down to buy a ticket. But to win a slam, I don't think you can win 7 best of 5 set matches with the way he applies himself. I think, you know, there's too many people working too hard on their fitness, on their technique, on their tactics. And you know, Nick's, you know, he's not one of those. It would be an incredible thing if he did, but it's really unlikely in this era where everyone's so professional.
That's a nice way of putting it. I don't know what's going to happen with Nick, but one thing's sure, neither does he. And he has a lot of fun when he plays tennis sometimes. You know, that match with Tsitsipas this past week, that was quite a match. I mean, set one down the tubes, and so goes a racket. And then he wins the next 2 sets. He is who he is. And deep down, he's a nice kid. And deep down, he's a respectful young man. He respects the history of this game, though. He doesn't talk a lot of smack about the greats. Some of them, the current ones, he doesn't like so much. But then, you know, maybe that has more to do with the fact that they are competitors and have gone further than him than it does his animosity towards them. but you can't bet him to win this event. It wouldn't surprise me if he did win this event, but I don't think it's going to ever happen. But again, it wouldn't surprise me. Hubert Hurkacz is another player, Craig. 2,000 to 1. He's a decent grass court player. How is someone like Denis Shapovalov even in the same category with Hubert Hurkacz?
I think a bit of it comes down to who Denis Shapovalov actually is. You know, he's a young Canadian guy, and they'll look back and say, well, he beat Andy Murray last time at Wimbledon, so, you know, maybe he's got a bit of something about him. People forget that Hubert Hurkacz pretty much ended Roger Federer's career. You remember that at Wimbledon?
I do remember that, yeah. I do remember.
And a lot of people were shocked by that. I don't think Hurkacz has kicked on maybe as much as we thought he might do and get himself into that like top 7 or 8 players in the world. He's still sitting in around the top 10, though. He's got a lot of consistency about him. He needs a breakout event, and you know, there's no reason it can't be here. You know, what if he goes on a run to the semifinals or better? You know, that could be the catalyst for his career taking off. I think he's got a lot of game. It's just a case of whether he can unlock it at the right time, and this would be the time to do it. And I think, you know, he's a better bet to win the tournament, certainly, than a Shapovalov. I like him, probably like him better than Felix or Stefanos. He's that kind of player that I think he's not, let's use the term, he's not sexy. He's not from the United States. He's not from Great Britain. He's a Polish guy. He doesn't stand out. You don't hear him saying a lot. So he's not got a huge profile, but he's a really good player. He sort of reminds me a little bit of, you know, the likes of a Thomas Berdych. There's a lot going on there, but he's not the first name that comes to people's lips when they talk tennis.
I like Marin Cilic more and more every single day. Watching him play on the grass, watching the way he handled his business at Roland Garros. You know, he's at that point in his career where he's gotten to every semifinal major, and I believe he's been in the final of every major also. And yet no one ever talks about him. In fact, I saw a FanDuel, something by FanDuel, in the top 6 to win this event, and he's not on there. And the way he's been playing, and he's played well on the winter hard courts like the Australian Open, he played very well at Roland Garros, and he's had a good history on grass. With that serve of his, and that forehand of his, and the experience that he has, I will take him over just about anybody on that list except for maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the list, there's just not a lot of names on the men's list that jump out at you as a potential winner. You know, Djokovic, Nadal aside, there's not a lot of people you think, wow, you know, they're a dead cert to get to even the semifinals or the quarterfinals. It's a lottery. Once you go away from the top 2 names there, it could be anyone who gets themselves a chance.
And that's just it. You know, Milos Raonic is making his presence known at Wimbledon. He's gotten to the final here. He hasn't played in donkeys there ages, man. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Let's look at a couple of these others. Look at Casper Ruud. Casper Ruud, 6,600 to 1 to win this event. Why is he even on this list?
I don't know. I mean, he's like a traditional clay court player, right? And he plays not a bad game on the hard court. I just look at him. He's a bit like your Stan Wawrinka or your David Ferrer. You know, I think Stan Wawrinka is actually quite a good comparison for him. You know, he plays a really nice game on the clay court and the hard courts, but he's not going to play a good game on the grass. He's the way he plays is just not suited to the grass courts. So he's such an outside bet. I just can't see him getting there. You know, he's going to have trouble with anybody who's serving big, and he's not got the right weapons for grass court tennis, I'm afraid. So you're right. Why is he even on the list?
You know what? He's at the same. He's holding the same odds as John Isner or Riley Opelka, which ought to tell you something. I would have Isner and Opelka valued higher than Casper Ruud, but I don't have any hope for Isner or Opelka winning this tournament. Do you?
No, I mean these guys, if they get the right draw, they could easily get to, you know, the third or fourth round just by serving big. But there's a lot of good defenders on there. All of the top guys are able to defend well, so they're not going to stick around. You know, if they come up against a Djokovic or a Nadal or a Berrettini or a Cilic, it'll be lights out pretty quickly.
Very quickly. Alex de Minaur, I refer to him as de Minaur, because every time I bet on him, I might as well have, it turns into shit.
The aptly named player. No, we're not going to be backing him, I don't think.
No, we ain't backing him. Jack Draper. Your man, Jack Draper, 10,000 to 1. Why is he even on this list?
I called it the other night to you when you said you were thinking about having him against one of the Finnish players. And I was like, you know, he's a good kid, right? But he comes from London. He comes from a good background. To me, he's a bit soft. He's only 21. I'm not going to say he's never going to make it, but I just didn't see that play the other night. And I said to you, you know, don't play it. It's a bit like you playing Francis Tiafoe and expecting him to win something. No, that the play wasn't there for me, and it turned out I was right. Like, he just didn't get into that match at all. You know, he's on this list, but he's not gonna win Wimbledon. He'll be lucky if he wins two matches.
Well, I was just stunned that Draper was so heavily favored. That surprised me greatly that he was so heavily favored. He was someone I've hardly heard of, to be honest with you. He's only played a handful of pro tournaments, but the hype machine has got him as the next Andy Murray, which I would say good luck with that. But you can't play him. I will say this, though. He might pull something off in the first week where you could catch him at plus money and maybe he has a nice afternoon. But outside of that, no thanks. You know, I would say someone I like, though. Someone I like to win a couple matches here in the first week is Tim Van Rithoven. That kid plays nice, man. You know, he's won a tournament. He kind of like is the male version of Emma Raducanu, except he's probably doesn't have the modeling contracts yet or the endorsements or the major. But you know something? The kid came out wild card and won a damn event. And he beat Daniil Medvedev in the final. He's someone I could look at maybe in an early round. I don't know. I'd have to see what happens next with him, though. Because, you know, it's tough going from getting wild cards and earning qualifiers to winning majors. And we'll get into that in a second. But Rithoven is one of them. Grigor Dimitrov, 80 to 1 to win this event. And I think it should be higher than that. Because I don't have a whole lot of hope for Grigor either.
Nah, he's done. You know, his time's been and gone. He's not going to win this event.
He got Sharapova'd.
Pretty much.
He hasn't done a single thing since that time. You know, that's that. When you start to lose your focus, when the tennis isn't first and foremost in your life and pretty much the only thing in your life, things are going to slide, and I think that's what's happened to young Gregor. But whatever. What about Sebi Korda? He's 80 to 1 also to win this event. I mean, he's tied with Dominic Thiem, who's not even going to play. So what do you think about Sebi Korda? He's probably has the best chance of any American, I would think.
Yeah, he blows a bit hot and cold, doesn't he? Like, he's still a young man. I just have him in that category that I think if he's going to have a breakthrough, it's going to come on the hard court, probably later this year at the US Open or maybe Cincinnati or something. We might see a little bit more of him, but I'm not seeing it here at Wimbledon.
Nope, you're not going to either. You know, Alexander Bublik is someone that you could probably bet on in an early round match. He fires darts, but I don't think he has the mental fortitude to pull that off. But somebody I like a lot, and I don't know if I'm not enough to win the tournament, but someone who's made me some money this week, and not only made me money, but impressed me at the same time, is this Oscar Ott at 20,000 to 1. Now, I don't think he's going to win a major, at least not yet, or maybe ever. But he can do some damage in the early rounds because he's got a big serve and a big forehand. And if you have those two things and you're not afraid to put the ball away like a lot of these guys seem to be, you can find yourself winning a couple matches during this fortnight.
Yeah, he's looked good. He looked good last time he came here when he played against Andy Murray as well. He caused him a lot of difficulties. The grass seems to just suit him. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays some good stuff.
Nor will I be, and I'm looking forward to that. Anybody else on this list that you like, or is it time to move on to the ladies?
Who we got down the bottom? Vasek Pospisil, he'll be lucky if he wins a game. Bernie Tomic, I didn't even know he was still playing.
Oh, he is still playing, but your point is well taken. He's still there, but just not there.
No, well, let's move on, because I don't think, I mean, Stan Wawrinka's got a wild card, but Stan doesn't tend to do too well here. He just got the wild card because I think he's extremely popular. You know, he's won 3 slams, so we can't knock him. But he's got a wild card, so yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so we have a new champion coming up because Ash Barty has retired. She defeated Karolina Pliskova in 3 sets during the 2021 Wimbledon. Iga Świątek is a +150 favorite to win this event. And you know what? You can make some money with that one at least. And I probably would put a few shekels on it because that girl hasn't lost a match in a long time. 38 wins, right? 38 consecutive wins?
Yeah, the thing to be careful of, though, is she's never been beyond the quarterfinals here. So,
and she's not playing any warm-up tournaments either.
Right, right. And this is grass court tennis. It's a little bit different. You know, you're not going to get as much time to run down the ball like you do on the clay, so I'm being cautious. I'm not going to play Świątek, and for me, she probably shouldn't be the favorite. But obviously, that winning streak puts her in that position. But I'm not looking at her and thinking this is the one for me.
Nope. I might though. You know, I probably will. I'm not a big future bettor anyway. I like to play them one at a time. But I like the way she plays. You know, it's pretty arrogant to skip the grass court season and show up and just turn up. You know, it's like Alcaraz did the same thing. A lot of them are because, you know, at the end of the day, it really is an exhibition for them. For a lot of these players, it's an exhibition. It's a chance to pick up a big paycheck for losing a match, and you wouldn't get that paycheck if you were playing a normal exhibition. You wouldn't carry that. Your name doesn't carry that kind of cash, if you will. But Naomi Osaka, she's a 65-1 favorite, or 6.5-1 favorite. I'm sorry, I broke my glasses this morning, Craig. So it's been very interesting, and my backups are not very. I don't know what they are. I'm getting older. But Naomi Osaka, +650 to win this event, and I always give. Now I'm just giving her a hard pass. I'm done with her bull crap. I'm done with her. Her whatever, her saga, if you will, and her drama, if you will. I'm just over this girl. She lost in the first round at the French. She didn't fare much better in Australia. She's done, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what frame of mind she's going to be coming in. She's in, she's out. She's wants to talk to people. She doesn't want to talk to people. Meh, you know, move on.
Yeah, there's no reason to talk to her anyway because she doesn't want to answer you. Unless you praise her, she's not interested in anything that you have to say, and that's probably why she's been in a horrible skid, or that's one of the reasons. But Simona Halep, with her new coach, super coach, Patrick Mouratoglou. 12-1, plus 1,200 for her to win this event. And I'm giving her a hard pass, too.
Yeah, I can see why. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, we're not feeling this WTA stuff, are we? Such a hard thing to bet on, my God.
Right now, there's no standout star apart from Swiatek, and she's not got the credentials on the surface, which makes it really difficult to back her.
She has won this event in 2019, so I would think the credential part might be there.
I just don't know. I just look at her and think it's not going to happen here. You know, everyone's got a good run and it comes to an end. I just don't see it happening here. I remember the last time she was here, she lost to one of the ladies we're going to talk about very shortly, on Joubert. But, you know, there's just something about how she plays and on the grass. It just, it doesn't do it for me.
You know, I've come to this conclusion over time that if you go to Patrick Mouratoglou, it's probably out of desperation than anything else. Except for Serena, but Serena, that's a whole nother set matter altogether. But Simona Halep has struggled. She's had some injuries. She ditched a really good coach and hired basically a promoter. I don't hold out a lot of hope for her to do much there. I don't think that she has it left in her to do that. And I think hiring this Mouratoglou is one of the big signs of that. Is that she knows it's coming to an end, and maybe she'll have someone to blame for it when it all comes crashing down. Because there's no other point in hiring a guy like Patrick Mouratoglou. Just watch his videos. If you know anything about tennis at all, and when I mean know anything, I'm talking about technique, he is horrific as a coach. Just not a real coach. He's a promoter. He's a hustler. And that's about it. So usually I give his students a pass. You know, I don't say Tsitsipas is not his student. So I don't put Tsitsipas there. I know that for a fact. You know, there's a big difference between training there at his academy and being trained by him. And he makes it pretty clear when you're being trained by him. But Simona Halep, I used to love watching her play. I was a big fan, still am, but I wouldn't put any nickels on her to win. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if she's out by the end of the first week. You know, she just hasn't played well. And I don't think this new addition has helped her unless it's to allow her an excuse for why it ended so badly. Coco Gauff, 12-1 to win this event. Is it time for Coco?
No.
No. This is the wrong surface for Coco. If you struggle with your serve and you struggle with your forehand and you volley so-so, that's it, right?
I think everything's just a bit too fast for her here. I think there's people who hit a better forehand and who hit a better backhand than she does. And hitting the ball nice and clean and hitting the ball flat tends to work really well here. She doesn't really do anything exceptional for me. And I think she'll find it hard going here. I think she probably gets the second week, but quarterfinal is probably about as far as she'll get.
I happen to agree. I think it was Herculean of her to make it to the French Open Finals. God bless you. But I think that's the peak. Emma Raducanu. 16-1. I would think 16-1 whether she shows up or not.
Well, I was about to say, is that, you know, to see if she gets to the second round?
Or even shows up to the tournament. That's in doubt, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, she could take a ball and go home at any time.
She might already have. But she's not. But when she does go home, she's got a whole big bank account for what amounts to getting lucky for 3 weeks.
Hey, you know,
God bless her.
Some people buy a lottery ticket. Some people play tennis for 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. And I tell you what, you have a better chance of the hitting the big lottery than you will of seeing someone come from qualifiers to win another major. But that's women's tennis. I wouldn't think that would happen in the men's ranks, but whatever. But this girl doesn't have a shot in hell of winning another one, at least the way she's playing right now. But she's got a, you know, it's interesting. You see more of her when she's advertising a product or announcing a new endorsement than the time she spends on the court in matches. And isn't it interesting with her is that she always has an injury when she loses. But those injuries don't seem to bother her when she's winning, when she's beating a girl that's 400 or 500 in the world. But when she plays against anyone with a pulse in the top 100, she crumbles like a cookie. She doesn't even finish her matches, Craig.
Yeah, I don't see her being there for that long, to be honest.
I don't see her showing up at all.
You know, she was retired with an injury in the second round. I think she'll get the second round and she'll retire with an injury.
Yep, she'll be seeded at Wimbledon. This is the tournament that launched her, basically, on the Pro Tour. It was also when she had to retire from her match due to mental stress. And I think, or an anxiety attack or whatever it was. You know, Simona Halep had one a couple weeks ago also. Hers was probably when she finally realized, what did I do? I hired Patrick Mouratoglou. But Emma doesn't have those problems because she doesn't have a coach. They think it's wiser this way. Maybe it is. Maybe Sue Barker is right. Maybe what we should do, and Andy Murray is right, maybe what we should do is just leave her alone and let's see what happens. What do you think, Craig? If the world left her alone, which, you know, is kind of hard since she throws her face in us every single day on several different platforms, she's really becoming a Kardashian.
Is it not a little bit like the whole Osaka thing? It's leave me alone, but hey, look, here's my face on a milk carton.
Yeah.
But I don't want to speak about it.
Well, that's what she is, a face on a milk carton, because, you know, in America, they put missing kids on those cartons. And she's been missing in action since she won the U.S. Open, except for the fact that, and God bless her, by the way. You know what? She picked up a racket. Apparently, she's devoted some time to it. I don't really know the particulars. It doesn't appear so. But what it appears is they have an uber-talented young lady who excels at the right times, but not at Wimbledon. I don't have any... I bet against her every time she plays, because at some point, she's going to lose. And she's always a favorite, no matter what. So you're always going to get good price against her. And so that's what I'm going to do in the first round. I'm going to bet against her, and I'm going to count my cash today, 1 week before the fortnight begins, Craig. But to put her in the same area, in the same code with, like, Petra Kvitova or Serena Williams, that's a little steep for me. I don't know how she manages. How in the world do you make her one of the five favorites to win the Wimbledon? Because you want to steal people's money.
That's it. There'll be stupid British people who'll be betting on it, thinking that they've not been paying attention to her recent performances, and they'll be thinking, well, she won a Grand Slam before, she can win this one. There'll be lots of people putting, you know, $1,000 on it or whatever. I'm not touching it.
No, I'm not touching it at all. You know, you've got Petra Kvitova there. I think she's in the twilight of her career. Paula Badosa, she's a little too inconsistent for me. Elena Rybakina, yeah, maybe. But here's the name that I wanted to mention. Serena Williams is making her return to the Pro Tour next week at Eastbourne. She's going to play doubles with Ons Jabeur, I believe. And then she's going to play as a wild card at Wimbledon. And there are people out there actually bitching about that. Why does she get a wild card? Because she's Serena Williams. All right, Serena doesn't have the endorsements that Emma has, but Serena has 23 majors and Emma has one. I think Serena is a favorite no matter where you put her. I might throw a couple bucks on this one.
Yeah, I mean, at the price, it's a pretty good price. It's a pretty attractive price. And she, you know, we don't know a huge amount about how she's playing or what her fitness is going to be like. But, you have to think if she's putting her name in the hat that she's going to be pretty fit. So, yeah, this is a really good play, especially at the price being offered. I think it's an astoundingly good play. I think literally everyone seeing that at that price would be worth having a go, because I think it's so open, the women's side, that there's just nothing to say that she's proven before that she can get to finals and she can blow a lot of people away with her power on this type of court. So why not give it a go at that price? That's a great value price.
That's a great value price. You know what else is a great value? Her doubles partner, Anz Jabeur, at 18-1, as is Carolina Pliskova. She got to the final last year, and she's at 18-1. Those two girls could make some noise here.
Yeah, I know. Again, Jabeur's done well here previously. Pliskova's done well here previously. There's opportunities on both to have some success. I mean, I've not got either of them as my favorite. They're not who I'm going to be backing, but I can see why someone would play them.
I could see why. I'm thinking about it too. Maria Sakkari, 20-1. She's looked good. She looks good this week. She won me money this morning, Craig. I know that was a shock that I bet on her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she always looks pretty good. It's just a case for her getting it over the line. Oh. When's it going to happen? You know, it's a bit like Stefanos. It's like, he gets to the door and then he just doesn't open it and walk through. And it's a matter of frustration with her.
Yeah, it's all upstairs with her. It's all mental, because her second serve is better than a lot of guys. I know, because I've been on the receiving end of it, and I know. As far as Anz Jabeur and Carolina Pliskova go, that little section right there, I want to see these draws. I want, when we do the show on Friday next week, when we have the draw in front of us, I'd love to see where Serena is, Jabeur is, Pliskova is, and Sakkari is, because I think that's where you're going to find your champion. Maybe Belinda Bencic at 22-1 would be a great play. Bianca Andreescu at 22-1, she's not bad. Annette Kontaveit, she's not been bad, but she's been hurt and messed up, and I think something happened. She's 25-1. Angelique Kerber, 25-1. She's a former champ. Let's see who else we got. There's nobody else.
There's one other player.
We have one left.
There's one other player and it's the one that I'm going to play, and it's an outside bet. No, it's not Eugenie Bouchard. I'm going to play on Amanda Anisimova. I've been really high on her this year. She's impressed me. You know, she's played some great stuff. Been edged out a couple of times in the big tournaments, but she's looked really good. I like the way she gets stuck in. She works really hard. It's a real outside play. It's 25-1. It's not a smart play. I'm not betting here based on previously. I just think the time's right that she's going to do some damage. And, you know, that's my play. And I'm probably going to play her at the US Open as well if she's still fit.
You know what? That's a great play, too. 25-1. I like that play a lot more than I would like Danielle Collins at 33-1 or Kimia Georgi at 33-1, Madison Keys 33-1. Jelena Ostapenko is 33-1 also, but I don't like her as much as I like that play.
Now, too hot and cold on Ostapenko. I like her, but she's too hot and cold. She can come out and just have a real stinker when you start backing her, and it's so difficult to play that girl.
You know, after yesterday, I was like, screw the WTA forever. I finally woke up. And then this morning when I got up at 4 a.m., I saw that Maria was like a minus 103 against Kasatkina, and I pulled the trigger. So now I have that false hope again. So what I'm going to do is continue on with that WTA, because, you know, smart sports betting, you know, is when to say when, but not this guy. I still think the WTA is worthwhile, and I like it, but I'm not ready to give a winner out yet. I want to see these draws. But if I had to pick one today, I would pick Matteo Berrettini And I would pick Serena to win.
Yeah. No, I like it. My turn, I guess. I'm going to pick Nadal. I think he's red hot. And I just saw an article about 20 minutes ago saying that he is going to play. He's been practicing. He's feeling pretty good. So he's expected to play. And as I said, I'm going to play Anisimova. It's an outside bet. It's a bit different. Not many people are going to back me with that one. But
I'm going to.
I think anyone can win on this women's side. I like this young lady. I think she's got a big future. So I'm going to pull the chicken. I'm going to play here.
You know, the greatest thing about doing this show is we're going to get... We haven't done a Wimbledon preview in years, and that's because this is the first summer that I've been away from tennis in a long, long time. And so I'll be watching. We'll be betting this. We'll be giving out winners. You just have to follow us on Twitter. I'm Cash with Flash. He's CD Sports Media.
And I'm going to tell you next week, before next week's show, I'm going to be playing every single day. I'll make that to you because I'm going to be watching every day. I showed you I've got the new 77-inch screen installed. I'm going to be playing every single day. I'm going to be watching Wimbledon every day, and I'm going to play and put picks out every single day. That's my promise to the listeners of this show.
And you know what? And I'm going to do the same I've been doing the last few weeks. As you see, my numbers are going pretty good. We haven't done any picks together in a while because of the time difference, because we're both busy. But we'll have stuff for you during Wimbledon. We'll have stuff for you next week, too. For Craig Doyle, I'm Phil Nason. Thanks for listening to This Week in Tennis.
This Week in Tennis.